we find in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Yudches, Rav Shimon Oimer, Kshaata Mispalel, Al Tas Filoscha Kva, El Rachamim Visachnunim Lufnei HaMakom Baruch Hu. Rav Shimon tells us that when a person davens, he shouldn't make his tefillah set, like it's something that he has to do, but rather he should do it with mercy and supplication in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He should daven a varma davening, a warm davening, not something that is like a requirement that he has to do. So I wanted to dedicate this year to the Inyan of tefillah. We're about to start the Yomim Noroim, and where we certainly daven more than we do. We say Slichas already the week before, the Svardim say it a month before. We increase our tefillah, and I'm going to basically relate to you two shiurim that I heard on tefillah, one from Rabbi Avrom Chaim Feuer Shlita and the other from Rabbi Eitan Feiner Shlita. And together, I think they serve as a very powerful motivation for us to improve our davening, especially now as we approach the Yom Neroyim. Rabbi Feuer mentioned, I heard Rabbi Feuer speak in a shul where he was giving the shul mussar of how quickly they daven. So it's probably the last time they're going to ask him to speak there. But he pardoned himself why he's giving them mussar, but that's what he did. But hopefully his warm words will improve, not only in that shul, in many shuls. You know, he asked, what's everybody in a rush? Where's everybody running to go? We have to slow, number one, we have to slow down our tefillahs. But he mentioned this is a bidichusa. It's not a serious thought, but it brings a point home. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, "Al shloisha dvarim ha'olam oimed al ha'torah v'avodah v'gevulas chasadim." The simple pshat is that the world stands on three pillars: learning Torah, avoda is karbonis in the Beis Hamikdash, or today we have no Beis Hamikdash, so we have davening instead, tefillah, and also the third pillar is gemilas chasadim. So he said over that he once heard from a rav that if let's say a person goes to a baseball game and they finish the game, and everybody's standing up to leave, and suddenly there comes an announcement on the speaker, ladies and gentlemen, because of various reasons, we've decided that we're going to make a double header. So, a double header, and whatever you paid to get in for this one game, you don't have to pay extra for two games. So everybody quickly sits down. They're happy. They're going to have a doubleheader, a second baseball game, two for the price of one. Or you had a concert, and they finished the concert. You heard Mordechai Ben David and Avram Fried, and you finished the concert. You're standing up, and you're about to leave, and suddenly an announcement comes over the microphone that we're happy to announce a surprise. We're going to have an additional concert. Another two great singers. Everybody's happy. Two for the price of one. They sit down. But he said, imagine if we would do the same thing with Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Person goes to a shir. He's already at the end of the 45 minutes, right, looking at their watch. When's the shir going to be over? And then the rabbi said, you know what? I know you enjoyed the shir so much. I'm going to give you a second one. You know, everybody's standing up to leave the shir. And he said, davening. You finished one davening, took an hour, and you're standing up ready to leave, and they announce, you know what? We're going to have a second davening, a double header right after. Or you were in a shul for one appeal, and they said at the end, you were so nice how you responded to the first appeal. Don't stand up and leave. We're going to have a second appeal. There are three things which the world stands up and they leave. They're not going to stick around for another shir, another davening, another appeal. So, but yet, when it comes to things we enjoy, like a baseball game or a concert, there, everybody's standing up, they'll sit down. So we have, the question is, how do we make our davening so enjoyable to us that when we're given a chance right away to daven another time, we're eager to do it? Obviously, this itself points out that there's something missing, there's something lacking with our davening, that we don't have that desire to daven a second time when we have the chance again to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do we correct this? So Rabbi Foyer was discussing the mitzvah that we had recently in the Torah, Parshas Kisavoy, the mitzvah of Bikurim. This is a mitzvah where a person, the first fruits that a person has from his field, he brings as a korban to HaKadosh Baruch, he brings it to the Beis HaMikdash, ties it up with a red band, and he goes to Yerushalayim in a basket. He puts all the fruits, and there's singing and there's dancing as he goes. It says even workers who are not allowed to waste time from their job, they're allowed to stop and be mishtatev in this person's joy of bringing the mitzvah of Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Foyer asked three questions on that. Sorry? Yeah, Avraham Chaim Foyer asked three questions on that inyan of Bikurim. The first one is, the Medrash tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Beis HaMikdash would be eventually destroyed, and there would no longer be the mitzvah of Bikurim, because there's no Beis HaMikdash, so he instituted the three tefillahs, Shachris, Mincha, and Maariv, like a compensation. He made the three tefillahs that we daven today, Shachris, Mincha, Maariv. So everyone asks on this medrash, the Gemara tells us in Masech de Brachos, Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis, that it's not true. That it says, Avos Tiknam, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov made the tefillahs. Avram made Shachris, Yitzchak made Mincha, and Yaakov made Maariv. Or the Gemara says that it was Keneged, the Karbonis, the two Tzmidim, that were brought every day, Shachris and Mincha, and at night you had fats and limbs that were burning on the Mizbeach. That's Keneged Maariv. So it had nothing. It's not, according to this explanation, it has to do with the Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. But according to both explanations, it has nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody holds like that. What does the Medrash mean that Moshe Rabbeinu was Mesakein Shachris Mincha Maariv? That's question number one. Question number two, over there in the Parash of Bikurim, the Pasuk says, Ushamarta v'asisa isam b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha. You should be careful and to do, referring to the mitzvah of Bikurim, there's in Perek Chav Vav, in Parash Kisavei, Pasuk Tazayin, and you should be careful to do this mitzvah. So Rashi says that this is really a promise. Not that you should do it, but you will do it. The Baskoil gave a bracha to a person. Havesa Bikurim Ayoyim, you brought Bikurim today, Tishne l'shana ba, you get a bracha that ushmarta v'asisa oisam. You will do it. You did it this year. You were careful to do it this year. You'll do it next year as well. So the question is, why we don't find this? You put on tefillin today. You get a bracha. We only find this by the mitzvah of Bikurim. Why, especially by the mitzvah of Bikurim, do we have this baskoil, a voice coming out from heaven? You did the mitzvah of Bikurim today, you'll be zochet to do it next year as well. The third question, that you find 13 times the name of Hashem associated, if you go through the Parsha of Bikurim at the beginning of Parsha Kisavai, you'll find the Shem Hashem 13 times. What does this correspond to? We know there are the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachma. Already in Slichas, which we started saying this week, we say the most important part of Slichas is saying Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'chanan Erech Apayim Rav Ches V'yemes. These are the 13 attributes of Hashem of mercy. Again, the question is, what's the connection between Parshas Bikurim and the 13 Midas HaRachmim, the aspects of mercy? So Rabbi Foyer wanted to suggest that the answer is as follows. In that pasuk that we mentioned before, Ushmarta v'asisa, That's the end of the pasuk. What's the beginning of the pasuk? The pasuk begins with the following words: Hayom hazeh Hashem elokechem etzavcha lasois esachikukim ha'ela. Today, this day, Hayom hazeh, this day, Hashem elokecha mitzavcha is commanding you lasois esachukim ha'ela, to do these laws. So Rashi says on that pasuk, Hayom hazeh. We find the same thing by concerning learning Torah. Bechol yoim, every day, yiyu beinecho chadoshim, they should be new in your eyes, ki ilu boi b'yoim nitztaviso aleihem, as if that day you were commanded. In other words, even though you were commanded on Bikurim long ago, but every year, when you are about to do the mitzvah Bikurim, you should consider it like what? Hayoim hazeh. Today you're getting the commandment to do the mitzvah Bikurim. So what's the idea of this? The idea is that Bikurim is the first fruits. So imagine a person, he becomes a farmer, and he plants, and he does everything to get the ground ready. And the weather is, Hashem helps him with the weather. He has the right, he doesn't have hurricanes and storms and that destroy his crops, or freezing snow and ice. He has good weather, and finally the fruits grow. So his joy in bringing those first fruits to Hashem is unbelievable. Ah, Baruch Hashem, I was merited that I have new fruits. The first act I'm doing is bringing it to the Beis Hamikdash. Next year, he already experienced that thing. Rabbi Foyer said over that when he had his first son, the Bechor, so he, the mitzvah pidgin aben, it's the same thing, your first son. So his shver, Rabbi Gifter Zitzal, said, we're getting a very good, you're supposed to always look for a very good kayin. There was in Telz Yeshiva Rabbi Velva Rosen, a very chashuv kayin. So Rabbi Gifter was so happy they're going to do the mitzvah of Pidgin Aben that he said, maybe I don't know who my parents are. He was brought up in Virginia. So he said, who knows what kayin they got there? Maybe it wasn't such a good kayin. It's supposed to be kayin meyuchas. He has a very good pedigree that he's a 100% kayin. So you know what? Maybe I'll do it also, and without a bracha. He wouldn't do a bracha, but misafik, I'll do it without a bracha on me. Once you have the kayin for your son, that's what he told Rabbi Foyer. Then a few days later, he told Rabbi Foyer, "Oi, what a ma'oritz I am! My mother was a daughter of a Levi, and a daughter of a Levi, there's no din of pidgin haben." But the point was, it's the same idea, the excitement. You have in a family, it's a rare mitzvah. It doesn't happen so often. You have in a family a pidgin haben, it's the first. So the danger by Bikurim is the first year that you're a farmer and you had the fruits, you're excited. You're doing it with a slavus, with a bren. The second year, I experienced this already. It's not such a big deal. So that's why the baskol comes out. The baskol comes out, and that's why there's a mitzvah specifically by Bikurim, Hayoim Hazeh, that next year when you have the mitzvah Bikurim, the first fruits, it should be new. It should be with the same freshness and excitement that you did it the first year. So this answers all the questions that we had. It doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu actually made Shachris Mincha Mariv. We said before, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov made Shachris Mincha Mariv, or it's Keneged the Karbonis. What it means is that Moshe Rabbeinu invested in the tfilos of Shachris Mincha Mariv. A person davens three times a day. Part of the reason davening is not exciting is because it gets boring. I did this yesterday, I did it before yesterday, and every day I do it three times. Women maybe do it only two times. Whatever, but you're doing it so often that it can get boring. So that was what Moshe invested in the mitzvah of davening, that he saw the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed, but that excitement of Bikurim, he wanted that first year's excitement, that's what every tefillah that you have should be invested in. And Memela, that's what the, why does a bas koil? The bas koil is saying, you brought Bikurim this year, you should be Zocha next year, meaning with the same excitement and enthusiasm that you did it the first year, that's how you should do it the second and the third year and all the years that you bring the Bikurim. And that's finally the reason why there are 13 Yud Gimel Midas Arachamim, because as we started this year with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, don't do your tefillah kvas, said Reb Shimon. How should your tefillah be? Rachamim v'sachnunim. It should be with mercy, with supplication, with fire, with not a stiff thing, I have to, a God, Hashem commanded me, I must daven, so I'm going to do it. That's not, that's din. That's doing it with Midas Hadin. No, you have to do it warm, with Midas HaRachma, with excitement, with enthusiasm. That's why there are 13 times Hashem's name to remind us of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachma. That's what Rav Fori wanted to say to answer these three questions. This reminded me there's a similar idea which is said by Aaron. It says by Aaron when he lit the menorah, Vayas Kein Aaron. Hashem commanded him to light the menorah, and Aaron did it. So the Sefri says, Lahagit Shvacha Shal Aaron Shaloshina. It teaches us Aaron's greatness. He didn't deviate from what Hashem said. And everyone asked the question, if Hashem told us to do a mitzvah, we wouldn't deviate either. What's the big deal that Aaron did exactly what Hashem said? The answer is that the greatness of Aaron was that the same enthusiasm that he had the first time that he ever lit the menorah, that's Lahagit Shvacha Shal Aaron. Vayas Kein Aaron, Aaron did the menorah not just the first time, not just the second time, but for thousands of times, every time he lit the menorah, Lahagit Shvacha Shal Aaron, to tell us the merit of Aaron, Shalo Shina. You couldn't tell the difference between the first time he did the mitzvah and the thousandth time he did the mitzvah. He did it with the same simcha and enthusiasm. And so there's an aspect of our tefillah should be exciting. And it could, I was thinking that it could be, that's why there's a din, that there's an idea in davening of tircha de tzibura. That, for example, let's say you don't have enough Sifri Torah, and you have to read from three places. So you don't wait. Let's say you only have two Sifri Torah. So there's a din. You take one Sifri Torah. While you're reading from the second one, you mish. You find the place in the first one so that when you finish the second one, right away, the tzibur doesn't have to wait. And right away, you'll have the first one will be brought to the place where it's supposed to be for the third reading. If you have Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, in a place where you have three Sifrei Torah, Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, you have three Sifrei Torah, so you're ready. The Tzibur, you don't want to make the Tzibur Matriach. What's the Inyan? The Inyan is because when the Tzibur is standing around, that's when people start speaking, when you have the big Mishra Beiruchs. It's not a mitzvah to name every single member of, you have, can I know 100 grandchildren? You're going to mention 100. All 100 grandchildren. People, it's tircha de tzibura. You have to make a shortcut. This mother with all her descendants. Hashem knows the names of all the grandchildren. But that's the idea of tircha de tzibura. That's the idea of, because then people begin to lose their excitement for the davening, and we have to make an excitement. Now, he said a very interesting story, that the late chief rabbi of England, Lord Jacobowitz, was once a visitor in Miami. Rabbi Fora was a rav in Miami, and Lord Jacobowitz came to visit him, and Lord Jacobowitz, when he left, he had a very nice time there in Miami. He insisted that Rabbi Fora has to come to London and pay him back the visit, stay by him for a week as well. And sure enough, Rabbi Fora went to London, and on the day that he was leaving at the end, he was going to Eretz Yisrael, so Lord Jacobowitz says, I want you to meet a very close friend of mine. His name is Sir Calm. That was his name. And he wants to discuss with you the United Synagogue in England. They're losing members. And what can he do? What is your ideas of how he can make the davening more attractive? They shouldn't be losing members. So Rabbi Foyer said, I think that the problem that you have is that the rabbis that you're getting are, you know, cold. You need somebody. He just learned in a kollel. He's full of enthusiasm. He prods the synagogue to learn more, to do mitzvahs more, all with great enthusiasm. And you'll see that'll pick up membership. So the Sircom, he was the owner of 850 like electric appliance stores. He was a multimillionaire. And all over England, and he used to visit every store that he owned. And he would make sure that every worker in every store was knowledgeable about the products. That if a customer came asked about a product, they would know exactly what advice to give them. He would go around himself to all the stores to make sure that the workers were involved. So he said, I don't have 850 electronic stores. I have 850 excitement stores. And as he wants, a customer comes in, goes to a worker there. The worker is excited because they know what the product can do, and they excitedly tell the customer all about the product, and the customer wants to buy the product. So he says, Rabbi, are you telling me that the synagogues that we have all connected to the United Synagogue, the Federation, that's a lot of synagogues together. You mean we have to make them excitement centers? He says, exactly, perfect. That's exactly what you have to do. Okay, so he said, listen, I'd like to speak to you more, but hasta la vista, I have to catch a plane to El Al to Eretz Yisrael. I'm sorry, I can't. Anyway, so he goes down, gets on the plane, and then he realizes that he didn't daven mincha. So, and he's looking around the plane, and for some reason, usually on a plane, you can find a minion of Jews to daven. He didn't see any people who were he didn't see a minion. All of a sudden, who comes out of first class running down? Sir Calm. So he had told them, you know, you can't be calm about the shuls. That has to be exciting. But Sir Calm comes over to him, and he says, I know what you're looking for, Rabbi. And you're not going to find, look through the whole plane, you're not going to find it here. But in the terminal, we're getting together a mincha excitement center. So he says, come with me for mincha. So that's the idea. Rabbi Forrest said that we have to, if we're told we should daven twice, we're excited. We're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have an excitement in davening. It shouldn't be a boring experience. So how do we, in fact, get to, what do we do to make it exciting? So first, I think we have to understand the power of tefillah, how powerful tefillah is. So I'm going to say over one story I heard from Rabbi Foyer, another story I heard from Rabbi Eitan Finder. Rabbi Foyer said over that there was a story where a brisker bacher saw a Jew at the Kotel, and he was wearing a Jets, New York Jets sweatshirt, and he had probably on a paper yarmulke, and he saw that he was praying at the Kotel with great intensity, and then he took paper and he put it into the Kotel, and this brisker boy was very curious, like what was... He looks like he's not religious, and he with great intensity put it in. So he probably did a wrong thing. We know there's a cherem to Rabbeinu Gershom. You're not supposed to look at other people's mail. Maybe mail to Hashem you're allowed to look at. But he, first of all, the brisker don't put their hands into the kotel. There's according to some opinions, you're not supposed to put things into the kotel. There's different opinions, but they. Anyway, whatever this, apparently was so curious, he pulled out that paper that this boy put into the kotel. He wanted to see what did he write. So he wrote there, Dear Hashem, you know, no, he says, I'm here in Israel, and I tried all over to find out if the Jets won the big game yesterday. And I can't find out. I tried every way. Please, God, help me find out, did they win the big game yesterday? So this Brisker boy had connections, whatever. He called with his cell phone. He called up, and he found out that the Jets won the game. So then he looks for the boy. He was easy to find. He had the Jets name on it, on his sweatshirt. So he goes over to him and says, oh, I see you're a Jets fan. Boy, did you hear what happened in the game? Why, what happened? Oh, you don't know? No, what happened? What happened? He says, the Jets won the big game. He told him the score. And this boy was so excited. He said, oh, you know, God listened to my prayers. So the Brisker boy went to Rav David Soloveitchik, where he was learning, and he told him over the story. And when he told him over the story, Rav David Soloveitchik began crying. He says, look, you were a messenger from Hashem to answer his tefillahs. You know why Hashem answered him? Because he meant it sincerely. He said the only one in the world is going to help him to get the answer is Hashem. So since he davened with sincerity to Hashem for a foolish thing, but Hashem gave him the answer. Imagine if we would daven sincerely like that boy for good things, for important things. And we're not doing that. That's why Rav David Soloveitchik began crying. A second story, Rabbi Eitan Feiner said, from the Bava of a Rebbe, Rav Shloima Halberstam Zitzel, he was sick, they went to a Frum doctor, and the Frum doctor said that he has, based on the x-rays, what he sees, that the Baba Varebi has unfortunately only 10 days left to live. And the bad news went around the whole world to all the Baba Chassidim. The Rebbe has only 10 days left to live. And everyone started davening to Hashem with great hislavus. And that night, they decided they're going to take a second opinion. They went to another Frum doctor, an expert, and he said, no, it's not true. He has many months to live. And so it was that he lived many months after that. So they went back to the first doctor and they said, you know, how could you give the diagnosis 10 days? The other doctor gave many months, and apparently he was living more than the 10 days. They said, how did you give that diagnosis? So he says, what kind of question are you asking me? When I saw it in the morning, it was 10 days. But during that day, till you showed it at night, a day later at night, so the Klal Yisrael had davened with tremendous kavana, with ishtapchus hanefesh, outpouring their hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's no question why it changed that suddenly he was given many more months to live. That's the power of tefillah. What's your question? I saw what I saw. The other doctor saw what he saw. So we see the power of tefillah. So Rabbi Feiner said that how did David HaMelech define himself? So David did not define himself as in Kiddush Levana we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. So you would think David would call himself a Melech. No, or in LeDavid Hashem Ayri V'Yishi, which we say during the Yom Neroim, starting in Rosh Chodesh Elul. So David HaMelech said, Acha Sha'alti Me'Eis Hashem Oisa Avake Shifti Be'Eis Hashem Koyim Mechai. In other words, I just want to sit and learn. David was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So David didn't say, I'm the one who learns, who knows how to learn. In Tehillim, Perek Kuf Tes, Pasuk Dalet, how did David define himself? With two words. Va'ani, do you know who I am? Va'ani Sfila. I am, my essence is davening. That is what David HaMelech said about himself. Not a Melech, not a Talmud Chacham. Va'ani Sfila. I am davening. And we don't find this by anyone else, that anyone else should be called, that their essence is tefillah davening. So Rabbi Feiner asks, why was David zeichet to this more than, let's say, Moshe or Yitzchak? Moshe Rabbeinu v'eschanan to get into Eretz Yisrael, He davened 515 times. The gematria of the word Veschanah is 515. And then it's written Beloshen Hispal, means he davened himself, on himself, means he made himself into a tchina, Ve'eschanon. He made himself, and yet Moshe Rabbeinu is not known as Vanis Filo. And furthermore, why is David more than Yitzchak? The Maral says, Al Shloish Dvarim Oilam Oimed that we mentioned before, Torah, Avoda Gemos Chasadim, Torah is Yaakov, Avoda is Yitzchak, Yitzchak was the pillar of Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim is Avram. So the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, was established Aleph Nissen. Aleph Nissen is the birthday of Yitzchak, because Yitzchak represents Avoda. He was like a korban. He never went out, just like a korban you're not supposed to take out of the Beis HaMikdash, outside. So Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. He was like a korban. Avram left Eretz Yisrael. Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak never left Eretz Yisrael. So why David more than Yitzchak? Furthermore, Avram made Shachris. Shachris is Shachar, from the early morning. That's Avram brought like a new dawn on the world. Monotheism. There's only one Hashem. Mariv is Erev. Yaakov was Mesakin Tfilas Mariv. So, but Yitzchak, it doesn't say he made Tzorayim. He made the afternoon. What's his tefillah called? Mincha. So his mincha means that he made himself. He himself, being on the Akedah, being brought as a korban on the Akedah, Yitzchak, more than the other Avos, made himself into a korban. He's the Amud Avoda. So, if so, why in fact do we find that David is called more Vanis Fila than even Yitzchak? So the answer is as follows. He said, this is Rabbi Feiner's answer. How do we know that Yitzchak davened mincha? So the Gemara brings a pasuk. Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada. Yitzchak went out to be masiach in the sada. Ve'ein sicha ela tefillah. And the word sicha has to do with davening. So the question is, and the Gemara brings a pasuk that sicha means davening. The question is, there are all different types of words that mean speaking. Amira, dibur. Sicha is the lowest form of speech. So we just described how Yitzchak was the embodiment of Avoda, of Tefillah, and yet here, where do we learn that he said Mincha? He went out to the field to Masiach. So, for example, Chazal say that Sicha Schulen shall Tamidei Chachamim Tzricha Limud. You don't only learn Torah from the Torah of the Tamidei Chacham, you learn Torah from the Sicha Schulen. Even the regular low talk, you learn Torah. So again, we see the word Sicha means low talk. How does this refer to Yitzchak? The answer is that Yitzchak, his tefillah was not... His tefillah, the permanent that we use is Mincha. But Yitzchak was totally tefillah, even his siach, even his regular speech, even when he went out to the field, he did mundane things in the field, his talk was tefillah. His regular mundane talk was also to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that Yitzchak did, he chapped a shmuz with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He said, let me talk to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Beis, Pasuk Aleph, Tfilah la'ani kiyatov, velifnei Hashem yishpoich sichoi. David HaMelech says in Kuf Mem Beis, Pasuk Gimel, eshpoich lefon of sichoi. So this was the difference between David and Yitzchak. The difference is that Yitzchak, of all the Avos, spoke the least. If you look in Chumash, you'll find Avram and Yaakov, we find that they spoke a lot more, that's recorded in the Chumash, than Yitzchak. Of all the three of us, Yitzchak spoke the least. So, yes, it's true that Yitzchak always spoke to Hashem. Rabbi Feiner's idea over here is that Tefillah is not just Shachus Mincha Maariv. Tefillah is that you talk to Hashem a whole day. Something good happened to you. Thank you, Hashem. You're nervous about Hashem, about something. So you say to Hashem, I'm nervous about this. Please help me to calm down. I shouldn't be in stress. Something worked out well. You thank Hashem. You share with Hashem. Hashem wants you. He doesn't want your tefillah, Shachus Mincha Maariv. He wants you totally. So Yitzchak did it even to the Siach. Not like us. When we come to the tefillahs of the Yomim Noraim, we come to Nesanet Toikev, we take out of our mind every other shtus that's in our mind, and we concentrate just on davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so serious what we're saying. That's not what Yitzchak did. Yitzchak was able, even in his regular siach, he was able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to relate to Hashem, to talk to Hashem. The greatness of David was that David was eshpoich lefon of sichi. David took the siach and he poured it out. There was no end. Yitzchak apparently did it, but it was limited. That's why who gets that title, Vani Sefila, even more than Moshe, and even more than Yitzchak? That's David HaMelech. Because David HaMelech, like we see in Tehillim, there was no event that happened in his life that he doesn't praise Hashem and thank Hashem. So he gushed, his tefillah gushed forth. That's why he's even greater than Yitzchak in this prat. And we find Adam equals, the Aleph is Adam Arishan, the Dalet is David, and the Mem is Mashiach. So the word Adam Arishan, Aleph Dalet Mem, it says that David was supposed to be a stillborn child, a Nephel. And Adam saw this, and he gave David 70 years of his life. That's why Adam was supposed to have 1,000 years, right? It says, on the day that you'll eat from the Eitz HaDa'as, you'll die. Elef shanim beinecha kiyoyim esmo. By Hashem, 1,000 years is like one day. So really, Adam, even after he got punished, that he's going to die, but he was supposed to live for 1,000 years. He saw that David is going to be a nephil, a stillborn child, and he's not going to survive. Adam said, take 70 years of my life and give it to David. So the word Adam stands for Aleph Adam, Dalet David, and Mem Mashiach. In other words, David is completing the work of Adam Arishan, and eventually that will lead to Mashiach. It says by Adam, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas ruach hayim, Hashem breathed into the nostrils of Adam a living spirit. The Targum says, what does it mean, a living spirit? L'ruach memalala, a talking spirit. The ability to talk, it was given over to Adam. And who perfected that ability to talk? That's David. The one who Adam gave 70 years, that is David HaMelech. The word Mashiach, if you put the nekudos differently, it's Mesiach. Mesiach is Siach, what we spoke about before. The easy, the light conversation of David was, and that's, Mashiach is going to be Ben David. That's Miloshen Sicha. That they're not just the important tefillahs, Nesana Taikav, Eila Eskera, Ani V'chol Maminim. There, everybody gets psyched up and you're up there. No, the Siach, the everyday talk. It says the Chavetz Chaim, if people, when nobody was around, people would hear the Chavetz Chaim talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. That's what David represented. So David was the Ne'im Zmiras Yisrael, the one who had the pleasant voice of Klal Yisrael, who was Mechaber Tilim. Rus, it says. Why was she called Rus? Shemimena Yotza David, from her came out David. Shezachsa V'yotzas mi'mayin ha'david she'rivo la'kadosh baruch hu b'siris u'shishbachos. Rivo means saturated. David HaMelech didn't just sometimes say, but he saturated HaKadosh Baruch Hu with shirois and tishbachos. So the idea is that a person has to daven to Hashem 24/7, 365. It says Hashem tzilcha. Hashem is your shadow. Just like a shadow goes wherever a person goes, the shadow goes with. So too, a person has to be constantly with Hashem and talk to Hashem, give him yourself. He wants you. He wants all of you, even the mundane. That's pshat lasuach basada. So if a person, I think the idea is that if you're always talking to Hashem, you're always davening to Hashem, then when you come to the Yomim Noroyim and you get to those really high tefillos, then they're even higher because you're constantly speaking to Hashem. So that elevates the tefillos of Yomim Noroyim are greater than the rest of the year. But the more you talk to Hashem during the year, the closer your bond of relationship is with Hashem a whole year. That is even mechazek your great tefillos, which everyone is psyched up for, those great tefillos. Because you have this close relationship with Hashem, because you're always talking to Hashem. Va'anis tefillah, eshpoich lefon of sichi. And I just want to close that these are the ways to make your tefillah exciting, but it's not only that this makes a bond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also it helps. We spoke last time we had a shir, we spoke about the achdus of Klal Yisrael. We have to daven for people that are, we have to daven for Yonason ben Malka, that's Jonathan Pollard. Imagine 26 years in prison. And we here, and we have to daven for Shalom Mordechai, Yonason ben Malka. And we have to daven for Shalom Mordechai ben Rivka, Shalom Mordechai Rubashkin, who's sentenced for 27 years. We have to think what that means. Imagine if you were 27 days in a prison, 27 months. This is 27 years that a person is. So how do we forge the achdus of Klal Yisrael? We spoke last time about the sands of the sea that they ward off the yam. The sands unite together. This, I think that if we daven for other Jews who need our tefillos, and their poil, we saw by the Baba of a Rebbe, he was supposed to die after 10 days. The tefillos helped, he lived for many months after that. The tefillos of Klal Yisrael have a koyach. If we daven for these people who need our tefillos, the tefillah not only binds us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but binds us bein adam lechaveroi. And in that schus, all of Klal Yisrael should, who needs a lot of Yeshua and Rachamim from day to day, the enemies of Klal Yisrael are getting stronger and more bold, and Klal Yisrael is in a very precarious situation. The Rebbeinu Shlomo should help us through the koyach of our tefillos, our united koyaches. We should be zoicha to shnas gula v'yeshua, and everybody should be zoicha to aksiv v'aksiv v'toyv and a good gebenchtor.
Thank you. Same.